Everybody.
Hello, friends.
Welcome into another episode of Spiritual Philosophy Chatter with the Joneses. I'm Danny Jones.
And I am Samantha Jones.
And this is episode 119.
119.
What is our topic?
This is raising better humans.
Very good.
Yes.
This is good. So kind of a parental thing.
Yes, exactly. How we can give our children better lives than maybe what we had.
Cool. This is a good one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well then, before we hop into it, do you have anything you want to share from last week?
I do. Last week we did The Truth About Men and Women, and I really enjoyed that episode. I listened back to them, and something about that one just kind of captured me. Like, I hope that people had the same feeling about it. It's just a good one. So,
cool.
And then we received an email today. I haven't even read this to you yet, so this is new to you. So let me read this. This is from Mary.
Right.
She says, "Hi, Samantha and Danny. I haven't written to you before, but I am Mary and I live in Carlsbad, California. I just found your podcast a couple months ago and I'm hooked. I'm working my way slowly from the beginning of your episodes, but I listen to the new episodes as they come in so that somehow I can feel caught up. I'm only on the episode about Nostradamus, which is 61. I looked it up.
Wow.
But I plan to listen to the rest as quickly as I can so I can really be caught up. I wanted to say thank you because your podcast has helped me start to become more of the person I want to be and to shed the skin I don't need anymore. I feel like a butterfly. My life has changed in so many ways because of what I have taken from your podcast. Thank you for helping me to get to this point. I can't wait to stay on this journey with you both and continue to grow alongside you. Your friend, Mary." Why does it get me emotional?
Yeah, that got me too. Thank you, Mary. That was nice.
We're both like, oh, already. Just started the episode. You know, it's funny because we got this morning, which was great timing for the show. And yesterday I was like sitting around thinking like, where's this going?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I want to end it by any means,
right.
But like we're on episode 119 and
what's the bigger picture?
Right. What is this about? And I don't really know yet, but the thing, we don't know, but we're just going with it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes this is how this works for my intuition is it, we're not given the reason. We're just told, just trust us. Just stay on this path. And then when we get messages like that, it reminds me of why.
Man.
Because that's exactly what we want to do.
Well, you know, and I feel like we're this type of people that kind of want to talk about all kinds of different things.
Yes.
And there's a lot of different things we have still yet to talk about.
A lot of things.
So
when we started this podcast, we were like, what are we going to talk about? Like we had a short list of maybe like 20 things and we're like, well, after that, then what?
Right.
But every week I get these, or you get them, intuitively. Mm-hmm. And so it just flows for us, and we don't really have to worry about that. And as long as people are listening, you know, we'll do it.
That, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think as we change and evolve ourselves, maybe other topics that we weren't really even thinking about may come to light.
Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, wow, that would be cool to talk about.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've had a lot of like deep conversations with listeners and clients lately, and they've sparked a lot of different ideas in my head like that. So, yeah, we got a lot more coming, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, but thank you for that, Mary. I've already got the tissues ready. Whew. Okay, and then we do two questions every week that we answer from our listeners. And let me get the first question here. So I'm going to leave this listener's name anonymous because he actually messaged me privately and I didn't ask to use his name for this, so I'm not going to.
Okay.
But he said, let's see, where did it begin? He said, "I am not big on conspiracy theories or believe government is trying to control us with these vaccines. It's not that I fear the vaccine entirely. I'm just stuck like I'm not 100% sure about it, if you know. I want to get it for the protection of my family, but I don't know." So I asked him, "What is your biggest fear about this, about the vaccine?" And he said, "Simply the unknown, having control over action, but not the consequence." So I wanted to address this. You and I started talking about this after we got this message.
Yeah.
That, you know, spiritually speaking, I am a true believer in that absolutely everything happens for a reason. And if you're not supposed to take this vaccine, there will be signs that you're not supposed to take this vaccine. So, like, as this listener and I were talking, my advice to him was just make an appointment for the vaccine and pay attention. Pay attention to the universe if there's roadblocks, if anything that comes up that's, like, stopping you from going. And then that's a good way to know that the universe is telling you don't do it.
Right.
He's concerned because he's very sensitive, like me, about what you put in your body as well. I did not have a reaction at all to Pfizer. It was great. I was so worried because I do. I react to every chemical, anything that you can think of. So, and I was perfectly fine. So, and I felt for him too that he would be. On the terms of like conspiracy theories or, you know, what are they putting in us? This was something that we talked to my mother about quite a while ago.
Yeah, when it first started happening.
Yeah.
And when the first vaccine started coming out.
Right.
You know,
I think I was channeling her at the time.
Yes,
so you probably remember.
I wrote it. I wrote it down, like, took notes of what she was saying. And, you know, I was specific because I'm a parent. We're parents. Yep. And we're responsible for someone else. And not only our decisions, but what we might, you know, want them to do as well. That was scary.
Right.
You know, especially in this day and age with the radical difference in news channels and who's saying what.
Yeah.
You know, it's no wonder people are confused, but that's the whole idea of this, is they are trying to confuse.
Yes.
Not necessarily somebody greater than, just each side is trying to confuse because they want your support. They want your opinion, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So that in itself makes this process harder. I think what you're saying makes it much easier by, like, listen to the universe more than Fox News or CNN or ABC or CBS.
Off.
You know, I get it that being informed and knowledgeable about what's going on in your state, in your country, in your world, yes, that's good.
It's important.
But I was scared.
Yeah.
And definitely your mother, when we did channel her, said, it's all right. It's good. The vaccine is going to work and it'll be okay. You're not going to get sick and die. They're not injecting you with a poison or a microchip or any of that.
Right.
This is actually there to help us survive because, let's face it, folks, this thing that has sprouted amongst us wants to take us out.
Yeah.
And it's morphing to do that.
Yep.
So if we don't, then we're taking that decision in our own hands.
Yep, exactly.
I have a very close friend who moved away to another state years ago and met a family and became somewhat friends with this family. Their kids played together a lot more, I think, than the parents hung out. But he just told me that the father passed away because he refused to get the vaccine because of the whole, that whole theory. And now mom is left with a few children on her own.
It's horrible.
And I know that he regrets that decision now.
Yeah.
Right. On the other side, he sees the big picture, but we've got to separate ourselves from this kind of media frenzy that we think should dictate our life.
Yep. Yeah, we have another friend too who the whole family got the vaccine except for one of the boys. He was afraid because mom got a horrible reaction from the shot, and so he was worried about getting the shot because of that reaction. He is now on day 12 with COVID and his fever finally broke.
Yeah, he was at 104.
Yep, he's just absolutely miserable. Nobody else in the family caught it because they were all vaccinated except for him. Of course, they're nervous wrecks because, you know, there are breakthrough cases. Most of the time it's just, you know, they say you're asymptomatic or it's very mild symptoms. Nobody else but him got sick. Right. And so you can see the vaccine does work.
Right.
We're farther along in technology than I think people give credit for.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. They're not going to, you know.
Right.
And I know everybody thinks the government, this, the government, that. Great. But at the end of the day, I'm telling you that if you listen to your intuition, you listen to yourself, and like Danny said, not Fox News and, you know, CNN or anybody like that,
right.
You're going to know what's really right for you and right for your family. Right. Don't follow the herd, whatever side you're on. Just right. Trust yourself.
Right.
You know, that's the most important. Just trust yourself.
Yes.
So I hope that that maybe helps on that subject a little bit, because this is a big deal right now. Now we're back to, you know.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah. Nobody wants to go through this again. So the more people that we could get vaccinated, the quicker we can end this, and the less people that need to die, because it's not worth it. There's no reason for it. But
I think this is going to go on for COVID, at least another year.
Yeah, don't get me on the COVID high horse, because it's not just
the whole lockdown thing, but I think
the
pandemic itself being kind of what we would consider out of control, that's going to go on for,
yeah, it'll be a roller coaster for sure, for sure. And then the other question that we had, I was actually talking with one of our listeners and a client of mine. Her name's Shauna. We were just talking last night. And she was asking me like universe questions, you know. And one of the ones that she asked me that caught my attention that I thought we should talk about is, she just had a baby a few months back, and she said, could my child be my grandmother that recently passed? Like, could my grandmother have reincarnated, and now that soul is in the soul of my newborn baby? So I wanted to address this, because obviously this is our opinion, what we feel from what we've learned from the other side. Nobody really actually knows what's going on,
right.
But I'm going to tell you what my opinion is of this from what I've learned from the other side. I do not believe that when we die, we reincarnate right away. I believe that we stay there until at least a couple of generations. Like my grandparents, my mom, they'll still be there when I get there. There's a lot that we have to go through when we get to the other side. We want to rest for a while, especially if we've had a long life or a traumatic life. We just go into like a resting phase. And for some spirits, this lasts months.
Right.
Maybe even years, really. I don't know. Right. I don't know for sure, but I know that I've connected to ones that have rested for 6 months, you know. So you go through that, and you go through a life review, and then you kind of decide what you want to do. It's up to you. There's nobody telling you what you need to do.
Right.
But if you wanted to come back at that point, you absolutely could. But I think most souls, because of what they've just gone through in their life, they want to help their loved ones down here to know how to navigate their lives better, so they stay there and work with their loved ones until they get there. And for me, like, I don't know what my great grandparents' energies feel like, and I don't know if I've ever connected to them, but I don't believe I have. I believe that they may have already reincarnated, and that's kind of how it works.
Yeah,
you know. So that's what I told Shauna, and she's like, oh, that makes sense, and I actually feel better, because I was hoping that my granny would be there when I got there. So, and I told her, I'm like, I can tell you, your granny, she's going to be there. Yeah, yeah, she wants to help you from there.
I would agree with what you said. Yeah, I think that there is a resting period. Is there an exception to whatever this could be, a rule or not a rule? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or the standard? Yeah, maybe you have a soul that's that old and done this that many times. It could literally come back that quick.
Right.
Possible. But I imagine most of us need to rest. Life is not easy.
No.
But it's still an amazing gift.
Yep.
See, it's still us coming into a mortal body and getting to experience something else than what we're used to over there.
That's right. We don't look at it that way, but that's right.
Because we're spending eternity over there, you guys.
Yeah.
It would be so friggin' boring if we didn't have the opportunity to have these experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
And not only on top of that, you're getting to have these wonderful experiences, food, sex, music, art, Mother Nature, all that.
Yeah.
You get to experience this over and over again. But on top of that, the icing on the cake of all that is that you learn.
Right.
You learn.
Exactly. You evolve.
Yeah.
You learn. Yep, exactly.
So I couldn't say for sure, is it your grandma? But I would say probably not.
I don't think so. I didn't feel it at all. Another way that, like, for me as a medium that I know is the energy. If I try to connect to a soul that, say, maybe is, like, died in maybe the 1800s or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a light connection for me. It's not easy for me to get. I have to go searching for mm-hmm. it. It doesn't stay with me long. When I feel that, it tells me that that soul is reincarnated. But like when I connected to her grandmother last night to ask her grandmother this, the whole soul was there. Yeah, I could feel it so strong. So that's a way that I know too, that it's not Granny.
And
yeah.
She kind of poses a good point by saying good, because I can't wait to see her when I get there. I think there are certain connections with certain people that they're not going to come back until they've seen you on the other side.
Oh, yeah. My mom will not leave there until my brother and I are both there at least, probably longer than that. But yeah, that would be a bummer. Get there, be like, where'd she go?
Right.
Oh, she reincarnated. Really? I've been waiting all these years to see her and she's not here?
But even then,
now
we're thinking like a human, because you would just be able to connect to her a direct phone call.
Totally. It wouldn't be anything like that. But when you think on human ways, totally. Right. So anyways, that's what I got for you from last week.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, then. Episode 119, Raising Better Humans.
Raising Better Humans. So we've been on this kind of relationship series. Okay, we've talked about relationships with our significant others and all kinds of different ones. But honestly, probably the one that's the most influential to us is that parent-child relationship, the one that we have with our parents growing up and the ones that we have with our children that we have. Mm-hmm. So that's what this episode is about. This is about relationships between parents and children. And when I started putting this episode together, I know I shouldn't do this. I always try and look for a name when I think of what we're going to be talking about. And I know I shouldn't do that because things evolve. But one of the titles that I was thinking was Raising Good Humans. And that fit with me until I started doing the research and the other side comes to me and tells me how to put this together. Mm. And I realized that really what we're going to be talking more about today is how we can be better parents. We can raise better humans than what our parents raised. That we can learn from their mistakes, from what they didn't do right with us, and not do those things with our children. That's what this episode is more about than anything else.
Yeah.
Because it's really typical for us to learn from our parents and then carry on the things that we're taught. And a lot of those things aren't the greatest things, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, but we're not talking about perfect parenting. There's no such thing as perfect parenting.
No, absolutely not.
We just, I think it's important for both of us that we just want to give our daughter things that we didn't get when we were kids in the emotional area.
Right.
So, yeah, this is an emotional episode.
I think it's recognizing, and again, you know, I can't even solely blame my parents because they learned from their parents who learned from their parents.
Right.
What we're talking about, I think, more here is to try to find a way to look introspectively into our own lives and break certain cycles.
Yes, absolutely.
Of things that happened. Mm-hmm. And try not to repeat that ourselves when it came to our time to parent. I think for me, I always knew that I wanted kids. At a young age, I grew up in an apartment building in LA, in Venice, and there was a neighbor who had a little baby when I first met her and then had another little boy. She had a girl at first when I first met her and then had a boy a little bit after, about a year or and a half later. So she's like a single mom raising these two babies, and we would play with them as they got a little bit older, and even when they were little, help her with them. And it was such a neat feeling, you know, to do that.
Yeah.
And to kind of be responsible for this little thing, and then to watch them grow up and be your buddy. And so I knew right then and there, I was like, I got to have one of these, except I had things in my life that were happening that I knew when I had my turn, something instinctively told me, I can't do that.
Right.
I got to do this different. So I don't know if it was like this desire, because I love babies. I've always loved them.
Yeah.
I'm the type of guy that I walk into a room and I see a kid or a baby, I'll get down on my knees and play with the kid. Or,
yeah,
oh, can I hold the baby? You know, I just love them. I always have. So, but I think part of me also wanted to know is there a different way than the way it happened for me?
Right.
And is the only way to know that, besides meeting friends that have different stories than mine, is to do it myself?
Right. Totally.
And to do it different? Yep. And that's where I decided that I'm going to do this one day, but I'm going to do it my way.
Right. Yes. And it's funny because I am the complete opposite. I always felt like I did not want kids. And Danny has a daughter from his first marriage, my stepdaughter. Mm-hmm. So she's not biologically mine. So I do not have any children of my own. And that for me was the best decision. And I'm glad that I stuck with it.
Right.
I'm very happy with the way that things went with my life because I was able, Marina's been in my life since she was 8. She's now 16 and a half. So I was able to experience a lot of the things with her, mm-hmm. you know, so far that I wanted to experience with a child, but I didn't want to, I didn't want to carry on my genes because there's a lot of illness in my family, but also because of the mental illness and because of what I was put through as a child, I did not want there to be any possibility of me treating my child the way I was treated, mm-hmm. but also I never wanted to bring a child into the world and to have anybody treat them that way.
Right.
So even as, you know, I was like, it's just not a good world. Like, I don't want to bring kids into it. But I was actually telling you this a little bit ago that somebody must have implanted in my head that kids were useless mm-hmm. when I was little. Because I asked my grandmother, I was young, I remember maybe like 5 or 6, asking her, why do they make movies for children? Why do adults do these? Like, I didn't understand why an adult would want to go above and beyond for a child.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandma, I remember her face, like, totally thrown off. Like, why would you even say something like that? But then, like, watching home movies of myself and being like, oh, you're annoying. You know, like, somebody just taught me that kids are just, they're just useless.
Right.
So that's what I think I felt, you know?
Yeah, I think that you maybe got that kind of, I don't know if it's because of the way that when your brother came along and your mom kind of had more people to take care of him than herself.
Yeah.
Like whether it was
a
nanny or you, you were often put in the position to sort of be the parent.
Yes.
And so you sort of have this maybe underlying resentment possibly for like, why am I getting stuck with this?
You know,
I'm 10.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a brand new baby kind of thing, or a toddler or whatever. Well, then you're starting to look at like, oh, kids are an inconvenience because for you, 10 years old, that's inconvenient.
Yes, absolutely. My mother did not do any of the things that normal mothers do.
Right.
She did not take me or my brother to school. She didn't really do much of anything except make sure that we had what we needed. Like, we didn't go without food. But for me, she pawned me off on my grandparents most of the time. And then with my brother, she had nannies for him all the time. My mother did not work. There was no reason for this at all.
Mm.
But she just wasn't, in my opinion, she wasn't ready to have children when she had me.
Yeah.
And because of her own mental health, she just shouldn't have had kids altogether. But here we are, you know. And so the best that I can do is see that I'm not my mother and that I'm not going to make the same mistakes that she did. And that's been very important to me since Marina came into my life. One of the things that my mom loved to do with me and my brother is sign us up for things like, for me, dance, drama, all those things. And my brother, it was sports. And then not show up. Not show up to his games or my plays or dance recitals. And it's like, why are we doing this? So that she could get us out of her hair.
Right.
So for me, I go to every single thing Marina has.
Yeah.
No matter how, like, there was time I had to rush there, mm-hmm. you know, from work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to do that with her. So I think that's a lot of like the point of this is like take those things that you look back and you see that your parents did those and don't make those same mistakes.
Right.
If anything, make it completely different.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I go too overboard because, you know, I get involved in a lot of her stuff.
Right.
So, but that's what my mom didn't do and that's what I would wish she did, you know?
Well, that's, I mean, I know many kids and I'm one of them that was kind of left to my own devices a lot. And that's not necessarily a great thing. As your life progressed and you know, you faced your first divorce, after your first marriage and realizing, oh, my kind of chances of having a kid seem like they're withering away quickly,
yeah.
you know? And, you know, I know that you'd shared with me before that you were hoping to find somebody that maybe already had a kid.
Yes.
These are the things that we're asking the universe from our heart, mm-hmm. you know? And those are the things that you'll get.
Right.
You know, it's like when it's really pure and true and it's like a true need.
Right.
There was something, a need for you to give to a child that you could say was your own, that you didn't get the same treatment from,
yes.
from your parents.
So it's there, very important to me.
You had this need.
Yes.
But I think as a result of Marina's life and kind of what she's been through,
yeah.
you got a bit more than you bargained for in the sense of, oh, it wasn't as simple as just, oh, I met somebody that already has a kid.
No.
You know, there's a lot that came with it.
There's a
lot.
Yeah.
It's been beautiful to watch that relationship grow and flourish. And I've told you this before. I see it. You know, I can see, like, way later or even post me here that you guys have a very close connection.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You've developed what will be a mother and daughter relationship.
Absolutely. And it's not easy to do with a child that has a biological mother. You know, her mother doesn't like me. Mm. We'll just leave it at that. Mm. It's very difficult, you know, but I've done the best that I can, right. and that's all that I can do, right. you know. But even on those ends, it's like anything, you know, that would make her think negatively of me,
right.
I don't want to put out there. And that even means talking bad about her mother, because mm. you do that and then the child's going to think bad about you. You
yeah.
know, my yeah. mom used to talk so much shit about my dad. She made yeah. me believe that my dad was like the worst guy.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to do that. Like that's just not okay.
No.
You know what I mean? All of those things, like there's things, you know, now she's 16 and a half and we see things that, you know, we were very different kids than she is. And mm-hmm. so sometimes we project our childhoods onto her and
yeah.
think she's doing the things we were doing. And then we have to remind ourselves she's not us.
No.
So we don't, like, get uptight about things. I know a lot of parents are, like, you know, always on top of their kids and stuff. But I look back at my teenage years about where she is. And one of the things that my mom did at this age was just didn't let me go places, but never gave me a reason.
Right.
I would just say, can I go out with my friends today? Nope. Why? Well, I don't know. You just haven't been home enough. Well, what the hell? You're only a teenager once.
Right.
You know what I mean? So things like that, we'll never hold her back from going out with her friends.
Yeah.
Because that was done to me, and yeah. I don't want to ever, like, have her go, you just didn't let me have my teenage years.
Right.
Have them. They're the greatest time, you know? Right. You learn so much about yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's all very important that these things that we look back and go, man, I wish my parents would have been different in this area, that we're different in that area
yeah.
as well.
But it is, it's a learned behavior from each generation. So I can't really specifically say who's at fault.
Yes.
But I just can say, I gotta stop certain things.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the problems that we deal with the most is there is a lot more child abuse out there than we realize.
Mm-hmm.
I asked our listeners, did you suffer any kind of abuse at the hands of a parent or a parental figure? 75% said yes.
Mm-hmm.
I know very few people who weren't either physically, emotionally, sexually, religiously abused in one way, shape, or another.
Mm-hmm.
The statistics are way too high. So then when we have those kinds of traumatic experiences, we really carry those with us for mm-hmm. the rest of our lives. And they do things to us that we don't realize, because we're learning to be an adult before our time
right.
is really what's happening.
Yeah. A lot of us were kind of thrown into those situations.
Yep.
I mean, it can do things to you. However, if you acknowledge it and you kind of face it, it can help you.
Yep. According to the National Child Traumatic Stress Network, 78% of children reported one or more traumatic experiences before the age of 5. 78%. That's crazy.
Wow.
Before the age of 5. any kind of early trauma like that in childhood changes the brain. It changes the way that it develops. It like short circuits it almost. Mm-hmm. I say to you sometimes, I wonder what I would have been like without what I went through.
Right.
You know, like how different would I be?
Yeah.
'Cause it does. It really does change you. So things that are examples of childhood experiences that can affect you in the long term in adulthood. These things include physical, sexual, emotional abuse. I would put religious abuse in there, too. I didn't even really realize until recently that this was a thing.
Yeah.
But you would be really surprised.
Yeah.
Physical and emotional neglect, witnessing domestic violence, substance misuse within the household, mental illness in the household, parent separation or divorce, incarceration of a family member, sudden death in the family, and caring for someone with chronic or debilitating illness. I suffered a lot of these. Mm-hmm. My parents divorced when I was 2. My mother and grandmother and other family members suffered from mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Very bad. My mother did cocaine around me when I was very young, so I grew up seeing that. I didn't witness domestic violence, which was great. My mom would sometimes go a little crazy, but she didn't, like, get physical, you know, yeah. Which was good. But I can see you look at this list of things, and it's like, oh, man,
right.
this is some heavy stuff for a child to be dealing with, period. And then to take this list and be like, oh, yeah. I mean, I pretty much, besides sudden death and the chronic illness, I don't – everything else I suffered when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
And – you know, it's hard for me to share these things, but on the same side, it's kind of easy since my mom is gone, and I know that she knows that I'm sharing these things to help people.
Right.
I'm not sharing them to put her down, so if anybody's listening that knows my mom, I'm not doing that at all. I love my mother so much, but she made a lot of mistakes,
mm-hmm.
and now she's trying to undo those mistakes,
right.
and so she's helping me to educate people about things.
Right.
And this is one of those things. And here comes.
Well, you know, we all make mistakes.
Yes.
And we will all make mistakes in our life. It's, can we learn? You know, like from the first time, how many times around does it take
right
in this life to repeat the same behavior and learn from it?
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing, you know? Like if your kid's saying, this bothers me or that hurts me, are you listening?
Right. Are you listening? Yeah, absolutely. We often tell Marina, like, that some of the things that our parents said to us, we would never, ever say to her. Like, my mom would tell me to go play on the freeway or take right. a short or a long walk off a short pier.
Yes.
Stuff like that. Like, I would never say that to her.
Right.
That just makes a child feel like crap. It also makes a child feel like it's okay to say those things.
Yeah. It put a feeling of, like, that our generation, we felt like we were in an inconvenience.
Yes.
To our parents, you know.
Yeah, I'll give you something to cry about. That's another one.
Yeah, I used to get that.
Yep.
And I would literally get it sometimes.
Yep.
But, you know, again, I just, there was just some things, you know, on that list that definitely hit home for me and were pretty prevalent in my families, you know, especially with the substance and some physical abuse. And I just know that there were things I couldn't repeat, you know?
Yeah.
You know, kind of a traumatic thing for me is like, you know, hunting a parent down at their location, whether it be a tavern or somewhere else, and asking them when they're going to come home, you know?
Yeah.
Begging them to come home. Like, I don't know how to make anything but toast and cereal.
Yeah.
And what about this big, what seemed big at the time, it was very small. What about this big apartment? What, you know?
Yeah.
I don't even know how to, I don't have a key. I probably did have a key at that time. But anyways, so things like that, it was like, I can't.
Yeah.
Can't ever do that.
No.
I can't.
No, definitely not.
I think one time I swatted Marina on the butt when she was about 6 or 7 because she was being dramatic around a stove with a flame. She was asking to help cook and started having a meltdown. And I had her standing on a stool in front of it, and she's helping me cook, but she started having a meltdown and being very animated with the arms and stuff. And I was like, you need to calm down because there's fire and hot metal pan right here. And she just wouldn't. So I smacked her on the butt. And that's the only time I've ever done that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, our generation, that seemed to not be as big of a deal, you know.
Yeah. I was not going to take it as far as I got it. Yeah. That's for sure.
No. No, definitely.
And I felt terrible when I did it.
Yeah, that's the worst thing about it, too, is, like, anything like that. Like, I don't understand how my mom walked away, you know, with, like, like, she never apologized for anything, you know. It's like, how do you treat your own child like that? It just blows my mind, you know. It's funny because, like, my ex-husband and most of the other people that I've dated, they did not suffer the kind of trauma that you and I did growing up.
Right.
And so, like, I didn't really get into depth with them so much about my stories, like the actual stories. And so now I sit here and I tell you my stories and I realize just how messed up my childhood was. Before I was like, not that big of a deal, really. You know, okay, my mom picked me up from school and took me to bars where I played Pac-Man and watched her drink all night. But don't most kids do that?
Right.
No. No, they don't. Right. Don't most parents, you know, sleep while their grandfather takes their kid to school? No, they don't. But I think we don't really look at these things until we're older. Like, at least for me, I'm looking at these things more and more and going, it all makes sense.
Right.
It all makes sense. And the fact that I was able to not end up, you know, addicted to crack or something worse, I think says a lot.
That is a huge deal because many of us will take these experiences and use them as an excuse to drown our sorrows or to treat other people the same way.
Right.
You know, from the outside or even on the inside, my life really wasn't hugely different than a lot of other people or kids that I knew, you know, my age, but there were definitely things that were, I don't know if they were going on in every home, but you know, like getting punched in the chest in third grade is, now that I look at that, that's not normal.
No.
I couldn't imagine doing that.
No, no.
To my child. I just couldn't imagine, you know?
No.
So that's the kind of thing that I was like, is that normal?
Right.
Or, you know, or is this going on everywhere?
But we don't know,
I don't know. And I still don't know if that was going on because I don't even know where half those people are anymore. But I did know that I couldn't do that.
Right.
And I wouldn't. That's where I was like, I have to break this cycle.
Right.
Especially if I know that I want to bring my own into the world. I can't ever let it get to that.
No. If we look at this from the spiritual angle, we did an episode called Ancestral Karma. And basically what that is that let's say that a family member does something and doesn't make right for it, it can be passed down to you. Okay, so I have experienced a lot of the things in my life that my grandmother and my mother did not overcome. Now I'm having to overcome them for the whole family, really. There's a point where the pattern has to be broken. It has to stop. It can't keep going on. Right. And that is, for me, a big thing spiritually that I feel I need to do is break a pattern. And I have. And I know my brother's kind of the same way, that I don't know if he'll ever have kids either because he doesn't want the pattern either. He wasn't even raised by a mother, you know, so he doesn't know how to have kids either, you know. So, but for me now, when I look at the things that my mother did, I don't go, oh, you're a horrible person for doing those things to me. I look at them as a part of my story. And that helps me to get through them and to realize, you know, it's okay that these things happen to me.
Right.
Because a lot of times, like, I talk to people that feel like they had a bad childhood. And so it gives them, I don't want to say it gives them the right to be a bad parent too. But sometimes they feel like that, or they just don't know how to be a good parent.
Right.
But I think inside and intuitively, we know what being a good parent is and what it isn't and what we are and aren't supposed to do. And if I was repeating any of the patterns that my mother did, I would know if it wasn't right. Do you know what I mean? I would know. So when we know that we're not doing something right, we're being taught to correct the pattern, change the pattern, fix it so that the next generation doesn't have to, because if it ends with us, it ends with us, you know?
It can. The irony here, if that you want to use that word, is, you know, both my parents are alive and still, and I love them very much. I, you know, I mean, we all have things we went through. They have things they went through.
Yes.
What the part about the irony I was going to say is that now coming out the other end and being in this phase of my life as a parent, I can relate to them and understand what they must have been going through
yes.
at certain times in their life. What I'm saying is that I can't cross certain lines
yes.
that they did.
That's right.
So does it mean they're terrible people? Absolutely not. I love them both more than anything.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. I mean, you only get one mom and dad in each life, so.
Yep.
That's them, and I love them for all their quirks and, you know, whatever it is. But I think it's taken time, like any relationship, for me to kind of get to know them.
Right. That's important.
Because as you're a kid, you look at them as just a superhero. They take care of everything. They get it done. They give you the hug. They put the Band-Aid on.
They're the old people that take care of you. Now we're the old people that take care of them.
Yeah. But then you hit the teenage years and there gets to be this weird, awkward kind of separation that starts to happen where you have a harder time relating and understanding. And then there's each one has its own stresses and things going on in their life. So then you tend to maybe conflict a little more than you did when you were little and cute and
right,
you know. So at that age is when you start to develop a relationship.
Yes,
you start to get to know each other as people, not just your mom
right
and your son or your daughter or your dad, but you're getting to know them, their soul as a person.
Yep.
You know, and some of we're all damaged in some way.
We absolutely
and the
are.
Other point about that too, not to get too metaphysical or wacky, is that for many of us, we've done these things before. We've lived lives that we carry trauma from other lives that we don't even understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, trying to keep myself more in tune now helps me sort of with all that other baggage that might be
absolutely
carried over from the previous one, that I'll deal with that probably when I go back.
Absolutely. You
know, again, a little bit more because it's left over.
Yep.
But
absolutely. So we talked a little bit about this, but let's talk some more. How to make sure our kids don't suffer from our childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, recognize your wounds. So you have to deal with what happened to you, whatever it is, however big or small it is. You have to recognize it and realize it's not your fault.
Right.
That you were a child and you had no control over what happened to you. Forgive what was done to you.
Yeah.
That's huge too. When you can learn forgiveness, you know, you can
luckily
move on
I was
a lot faster.
Really blessed that both my parents were very open, allowed me to do that.
Yeah.
Like go to therapy at a young age
mm-hmm.
and kind of deal with what was going on and what was going on inside me.
Yeah.
So I was able to have a much higher chance of being successful at my turn of being a parent.
Right.
And achieving what I wanted to achieve.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Let's see. Actively work on your mental health. If your mental health is good, then you can have, you know, be able to help your own children better.
Mm-hmm.
Be present. This is important. I didn't realize how important this was, but looking back at my childhood, that was really one of the things for me, is that I spent a lot of time alone. My mm-hmm. mom really wasn't present. She was there for herself, not for me. And so I definitely don't want to be like that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Be quick to apologize. That was something that was always hard for me because I never got an apology. Not once. Until my mom was passed. And then I got all the apologies for all the things. So don't carry that around with you. If you know if you did something wrong. You may be the parent, but you still make mistakes, and it's still important to apologize for those mistakes. It teaches your kids to apologize as well.
Yeah.
Because if you're not apologizing, then they're probably like, well, I don't even have a guide here to show me what yeah. I'm supposed to do.
Right.
You know? And we did talk about this one a little bit, too, is choose a better way. Instead of saying things like, because I said so, or go play on the freeway, figure out a better way to put it.
Right. Right.
You know, because those words do stick.
Yeah.
They stick a lot. And then how, then, do we raise better humans? What are some things that we can do to make sure that these little creatures are better than we are? Not that there's anything wrong with us, but right. empower them, you know?
Right.
Let's see. Wrap everything that you do in unconditional love. That's really crystal clear,
right.
you know? That's really what kids need. They need to know that somebody does love them no matter what they do.
Right.
You know, that's... Yeah. Remember, each child is unique and special. Because you... I have done this, so I'm not going to lie. We have a tendency to project ourselves onto our children. And look, I was just saying that at the beginning, actually, that sometimes we're like, whoa, at 16 and a half, this is what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're projecting yourself onto them. They're their own person. They have their own mind and their own thoughts. And so you have to treat them as such,
right.
that they're unique and they're special. View challenges as things to conquer. You know, a lot of us, like, we make a mistake with our parenting or, you know, lose our cool or whatever. And we're like, you know, it just makes us feel crappy. But if you look at it as a challenge, that this is something that, okay, next time, if there is a next time, I'm not going to react this way, or this is something that I can do better.
Right.
If you can find a way to turn it into a positive, then that helps the process for right. everybody as well. Using positive language, you know, try to
That's
keep,
a big one.
Yes, keeping things positive for children is very important. If you're always negative, my grandma was the most negative person I've ever met in my entire life. And it rubbed off on me. It really did, because you start to wonder, well, is it this the way it's supposed to be? You know, so we need to be positive, use positive, even in the negative, mm-hmm. even in like a COVID situation. Well, yeah, this is bad, but, yeah. you know, and try and find something to follow it up with to make right. it somewhat better, because they're kids and they don't understand,
right.
you know, build off of their interests. Mm-hmm. Like so I was a dancer. Marina is in dancing. I yep. did not do that. She's on the dance team because she wants to be. Okay. But if she was on the dance team because I forced her to do that, right. that wouldn't be right, because no. she wouldn't be enjoying it. Make sure that whatever it is that your kids are interested in, that that's what they're doing.
Right.
If they're interested in art, that yeah. they're doing art, not soccer.
Right. you know whatever what I mean? They gravitate towards, nurture that.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's kind of get behind them. And
yep.
you want to do some more of that? Like, you don't got to push, but just encourage. Like, God, you were pretty good.
Yep.
Do you want to do some more of that?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And let your children fail to build confidence.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one, because we don't want to see them fail.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Marina's at the point where she's like ready for her first relationship. Mm-hmm. And for us, it's like, oh, don't get your heart broken, please.
But we know that's going to happen.
Right. We know that in order to experience life, mm-hmm. she's going to have to experience heartbreak.
And we all do.
So we just have to let her, and she knows that, you know, right. we've said that to her. We're just, as much as we right. want to protect you and right. you know, we have to let you go through this, because this is a normal part of life. You know,
when you love something like that, you don't want to see them hurt. But that
yeah.
is the natural thing that happens to most all of us, probably.
Absolutely, it is. So no matter what that is, that, you know, it may suck to watch them fail, but sometimes they have to, because then when they fix it themselves or whatever, they have more confidence in themselves. If we're constantly fixing everything for them and not letting them learn, then how do they grow?
Right.
You know? I also asked this. Oh, look, one.
Oh, yeah.
I also asked our listeners this, like, if there's anything that they would want to say about how to raise better humans, what would it be? And Donna said, be a good example. That is so important.
Mm-hmm.
If you are being one person and mm-hmm. expecting your child to be another, you got to put on that example. You got to mm-hmm. treat people with kindness if you want them to treat people with kindness.
Yeah.
With everything. They're little, like, sponges.
Yeah.
You know, they pick up everything that we do, and if they see you doing bad things, they don't understand.
Yeah.
My mom used to steal, like, all of the, like, salt and pepper shakers and stuff like that off the table, and even tell me, here, Sammy, put these in your purse. I saw nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Because I was taught to do that. You right. know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my mom set a really bad example in a lot of those areas. Yeah. So for me, don't steal those things off the table and tell Marina to put them in a purse. I'm a good example.
Yeah. No,
or at least I try to be.
I would like to take a minute to to acknowledge that and say, you know, our lives landed in each other's, not oddly enough, it's exactly what we were both asking for. You know, you wanted somebody that had a kid because you were older now and divorced and felt like your chances were probably not great.
Yeah, I didn't want to start.
And I wanted somebody like that was going to embrace me and my child.
Yeah.
You know, and treat them as they were their own and go above and beyond that, which you absolutely have. You know, I can't even tell you that, you know, without dragging people through the dirt and making people look bad, that I, like many, went through a pretty ugly divorce. And I was at the very beginning facing losing my child completely. Zero custody. Again, the irony is now I have 100% custody.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going for that. I was looking to split.
Right.
You know, from the beginning.
Right.
And when you came along, not only was it somebody that could help me raise her the way that I really saw that I wanted to, and based on what we're talking about today, like not take our trauma out on our mm-hmm. kid.
Yeah.
That's what we did not want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And today she has greater communication, greater respect, and admiration for you than she does her biological mother.
Yeah.
That's hard to say.
It is.
That's hard for me to say. It's hard for you to hear. It's probably hard for her to hear.
Yeah, nobody wants it that
but
way.
But she knows that's the truth.
Yeah.
We all do. And what you've done has been, based on Donna's comment, has been an example to her, to all of us. But
trying to make me cry.
I could never put into words my gratitude for showing her what a loving, caring mother can be and taking care of her the way that you do and showing the interest that you do. I'll never be able to fully repay.
That's very sweet, baby. You don't ever have to repay that to me. That's what I'm here for, and it's what I wanted. Yeah, you know,
I don't know
it's,
whatever word to use, but just
yeah.
I can never top that.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you. We've had these talks before, but it hits differently when you're ending a episode about, you know, something is heavy. So sorry for crying, but I'm sure we got some people crying with us too right now.
But it helped me achieve my dream and my goal from, you know, that 5-year-old age going, I want one of these, but I want it to be different.
Right.
I don't want it to be what I had.
Yeah, exactly.
And you made that possible for us.
You made that possible for her, though, and you need to see that, too. And I think that that's important for our listeners to see, is that it was not easy. The process was not easy at all. And, like, for me, I was kind of taught that men don't do that. Like, my dad just kind of split. And honestly, I don't blame him after the level of crazy that my mom was.
Yeah.
But that's what I felt that men did. I just thought they leave. That's what they do. And you taught me that that's not all men, that all men don't leave, that you've given everything that you can to, like you said, raise her in a way that she didn't have the same kind of childhood that you did. And that meant taking a lot of risks. Yeah. And you did that for her. So you should feel very proud of yourself, too, for that. This gig called parenting is not easy. Mm-mm. And I didn't try to necessarily avoid it because it seemed like a lot of work. I avoided it, at least having the child myself, because I was so scared of what kind of damage I could do to that child inadvertently. Mm-hmm. So having a child now has taught me that I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have been that parent to them. I wouldn't have treated them the way that my mother did. And so I can kind of let myself off the hook for that. You know, it was what I needed. And that is what the universe brings us. And that's what it can do for us. It's like, we've been watching the show and one of the women on this show is going through in vitro fertilization. And I started thinking about this, about whatever is meant for us is meant for us, and it will be. And I'm not saying don't go through in vitro or anything like that, but I truly believe that if you are not meant to have a child of your own, you won't. Right. I didn't take any extraordinary measures. I've never had an abortion, nothing like that. I never got pregnant. The universe said, this girl does not need a child.
Right.
And it stood by me on that. You know what I mean? I truly, truly believe that. And if we learn, if all of us learn to listen to the universe more, it will guide us in exactly the way we're supposed to go, because it did guide me to what I needed. And at the same time that you and I reconnected, I was taking care of my brother, who's 10 years younger than me. He was living with me and not working, and I was providing for him and like a motherly support like I've always been, especially, I mean, really his whole life. You know, so I did kind of have a child of my own, you know. We always joked about our getting our children together, you know. So what's meant for you will come to you. You just have to trust that and know that. Don't try to like fight any timelines on life, on having kids. If you're trying desperately to get pregnant and it's not happening, it's probably not happening for a reason. Just relax. I get asked that a lot. Like, when am I going to get pregnant? You know, when the time is right, just relax. And if you relax and don't focus so much on it, it'll happen. These are all spiritual lessons that we could learn, and I could go on and on and on for hours, but we're out of time. Woo! And 5555 on there. Okay, I'm snotty and I apologize. I'll just read a couple more of these real quick because we only said Donna's, but Amy said, teach them how to communicate effectively through their about their thoughts, needs, issues, and how to find resolution. It's very important.
Good one.
That they feel that they can listen to you. Kathy said, teach them the value of hard work and that nothing comes for free. That's also very important. Our job is to teach and mentor our kids to be self-sufficient and capable to care for themselves. Doing it all for them teaches them entitlement. Our job is to set them up for the real world where hard work and effort matters. Yes, I love that one. It's very important.
Yeah.
I was not really set up to go out into the world, yet somehow I did it. But I had my grandfather, who was wonderful, who really did help me, and he was my example. And now I want to be Marina's example, and we should be doing that, not tying our kids down, making them think, you know, you have to do this and you have to do that, but giving them the freedom to explore what it is that they want to explore, and being behind them on that, but also showing them that hard work pays off. And you can't just sit around and be lazy and get somewhere. You have to put the work in. You have to put the effort in. So I love that.
Absolutely.
So
that was great.
Yep. I think we can end the episode on that note. Sorry about the snoring Great Dane. He's been going the whole time.
Yeah, he has.
He is tired, man.
Well, thanks everybody for the input. You know, all listeners that gave their input. I love it. I think that's those really cool comments.
Yeah, I do too. I love to be able to include our listeners, you know, see what their opinions are and things. And you know, so.
Well, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Very nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, before we say goodbye to our friends, would you like to share your page real fast?
Yes. You can find me at SamanthaJonesPsychicMedium.com, or you can reach us at the show at SpiritualJoneses@gmail.com. If you did want to set up an appointment with me, I get emails through my website all the time. How do I do that? You can email me directly, BeyondTheBridge11@gmail.com, and I'll set it up for you.
Nice.
And then you, sir.
Yes, for my art, djonesartcollection.com, for the web, at djonesartcollection for Instagram and Facebook, and for the music, gypsybrown.com, for the web, at gypsybrownmusic for Instagram, at gypsybrownband for Facebook, and there is a link on Facebook to purchase tickets on Eventbrite, so if you're looking and interested for the show October 1st, opening for the Tubes in Agoura Hills at the Canyon, you can find that link on Facebook, and it takes you right there.
Yay. I'm so excited.
I am too. We're going to have t-shirts. We're going to have stickers.
Yep.
It's going to be fun. Good time.
Good time.
And I can't wait.
Yep.
Great. So with that, I hope everybody got something, or we hope everybody got something out of this.
Yes, that we do.
And we hope everybody has a great week.
That we do.
And until next week, peace and love.